Lord, we thank you so much that you are the great God, that you are the great and mighty and powerful God, and that you are a God over this whole earth. Lord, there are people that are waking up all around the world as each hour passes by, as the world turns. Lord, there are people that are waking up to worship you, and we get to be a part of that. And we thank you so much, Lord, that we are able, as your children, as people that believe in you, that we are able to come into your throne room with confidence and know that you hear our prayers, know that you hear our... And Lord, we know that you are constantly working in our lives. But Lord, some of us here are going through some very difficult times. And so Lord, I do want to lift up those that are here that are going through a difficult time. I lift up the families that are going through a difficult time, whether because of sickness or strife, different circumstances. Lord, some people are struggling because of their relationships in their businesses, in their workplaces. Some people are struggling because of family, relatives, extended family. Some of us are struggling just on our own. Some of us are struggling because of our children. And so, Lord, I lift up all of these to you. Lord, as we come before you today and as we recognize that you are the great God who is able to take care of all of our needs, who knows all things that are going on in our hearts. Lord, we come before you and we want to lay down all these things before you. And as we come to your word now, I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts, to encourage us, to show us the right way, to know how to live a life that is worthy of you as you enable us through your Holy Spirit. So thank you, Lord. We lift this time up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going through the book of Matthew, and we started going through the Sermon on the Mount. We are now in a portion where we've been going through some commands that Jesus has been talking about that are related to the Ten Commandments. And so we're going to continue that. Today's the last part, part three of the sermon, The Heart of the Law. And so let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. For those of you that have Bibles, you guys could open it up. For those of you that prefer print and don't have your Bibles, there's a Bible in front of you that you could use. It's also shown on the screen. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 17, and we're going to go to the end of the chapter. The last 2 weeks, we've been talking about verses 17 all the way to verse 37. We'll just read through it to remind us what we talked about, and today we'll be focusing from verses 38 and onward. This is the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone who slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This was a reading of God's Word. Amen. For the first 2 weeks, we talked about the topics of anger, lust, divorce, and really promising, swearing, that you will accomplish something. They were related to three commands found in the Ten Commandments. And the three related commands were, do not murder, do not commit adultery, and do not give false testimony. We also talked about how these commands were related to God's character and his great plan to create a perfect world where people would look out for each other, where people would love each other, and where spouses would be committed to each other, and where people wouldn't lie, but would actually be trustworthy. Why? Why did God create these commands? Why did God give these commands? Because it was a way to show through people who God actually is. And we talked about these commands thinking about four ideas: outward action, heart action, not every action, and God's action. One more time: outward action, heart action, not every action, God's action. And we're going to continue to talk about these four topics as we look at the next two, about retaliation and about loving your enemies. All right, so with each of these commands, we talked about how Jesus was not intending on just describing what was forbidden on the outside, but he was pointing to the fact that what's more important is your heart. And any action that may come out, whether sinful or good or whatever, is a result of what's already in your heart. And what's in your heart, what's in all of our hearts, is actually sin. There is sin that continues to come out. A desire to figure out those things, like the needs that we have, there's this desire that to try to figure out how to achieve those needs on our own, rather than leaning upon Jesus, who is able to make all things right in our lives. There are these needs that we have. All of us have these needs, these desires. We want to be successful, or we want to be accepted by people. We have these kinds of desires. We want to be comfortable. We just want to relax. We just want to rest. We have all these desires. And whenever we try to achieve those desires through our own actions, when we try to get those things in our own ways, that's when we fall into sin, because we're not leaning upon Jesus, but we lean upon our own selves. Today we're going to continue in that line of thought with a little bit of a shift. Here's the idea. Jesus had been focusing on three commands: do not murder, do not commit adultery, and do not give false testimony. Which also meant to be, for us, do not murder also means be an advocate for life. do not commit adultery means be faithful in your relationships. And do not give false testimony is about being truthful and honest. But what if you're really trying to do these things? You're really trying to be faithful. You're trying to advocate for life. You're really trying to be truthful and honest. But then there are other people that are out there that don't do that. And they end up hurting you. What do you do during those times? What do you do with the hurt that you feel? What are we supposed to do when other people aren't keeping those commands and we end up being the victim? What do we do in those situations? That's where we come to today's verses. In verse 38, it says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." The idea here is that we all want some kind of justice. Whenever there's someone out there that ends up hurting another person that's hurt wants some kind of justice. I see this almost every day with my children. My kids will come up to me and say, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, my brother just hit me." Why are they coming to me to tell me this? You know, and sometimes in my own, like, you know, maybe because I'm lazy or because I just don't want to deal with it, I say, just go handle it yourself. Or just tell them to stop, you know. But why do they come and talk to me? Why do they want to come and tell me that this is what happened? Because they're seeking justice. And whenever we go through a difficult time because of someone else's sin, we want justice. And it's hard to deal with the emotions that come up. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about because of the pains that we've experienced from past relationships, from people in our past that have hurt us. And for some of us, it's really difficult to know how to even deal with the emotions that come up from that situation. Let's read on. "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." All of these situations that are brought up, that Jesus brings up, is talking about a situation where someone might have hurt you. Even the person that's borrowing money from you, think about a situation. Maybe they've already borrowed money from you, and they're asking again. They haven't paid you back, and they're asking you again. And perhaps, as we read Jesus' words, we're thinking, all right, Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, to not only give our tunic but also our cloak, to not only go 1 mile but 2 miles, and just to keep giving, even though they've hurt me, even though they've done something evil to me. Do not resist the evil. The outward action is to, as the saying goes, go the extra mile. Right? The outward action is to do what is good. To respond, whenever evil comes, to respond with good. But as we just said, if all we're doing are those outward actions, but our heart is still complaining on the inside, still saying, "Ah, that person is coming again? Doesn't this person remember what they did to me last time?" Eventually, we're going to grow tired of doing these good things. Right? Some of us, we try our best. And it's good that you're trying. As a Christian, you're really trying to do good. And that's good. I want to commend you for doing that. But as long as our hearts aren't changed, doing that good becomes tiresome. It's tiring. It's wearisome. And so what Jesus is pointing to is not this outward action only. Jesus is talking about your heart. Your heart has to be changed. Your heart has to start from a good place to be resulting in good actions. Now, all of these things that we're aiming for, like what should our heart be? What should our heart be? Our heart should be coming from a place of desiring to do good. Let me read a passage for you that comes from Romans chapter 12. It's not on the screen, so just listen as I read it for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 14, it says this. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right. So the outward action, what Jesus tells us to do, is to go out and do good. But it's not just about obeying him with your outward actions. It has to start from your heart. Your heart has to be in a good place. And what Paul tells us in the passage that I just read for us is that seek out that thing that is honorable. You know, when someone comes and does evil to you, our maybe initial reaction is we want to do evil back to them. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We want to do that. We want justice. But what Paul says and what Jesus is pointing to is our hearts need to be right. Think about those things that are honorable. Think about those things that are good. Even if someone comes and does evil to me, I need to think through how can I do what is honorable back to him or her. Now, what is the goal? The goal is so that we would bring peace. The goal is so that we would be peacemakers, that we would be able to reconcile. And this is what God had in mind in the first place. But before we talk about God's action, let's talk about how it's not every action. This command, when Jesus goes through this, he's not saying, okay, wait for that moment where someone comes up to you and slaps you. That's your opportunity to turn the other also. No. Jesus is not mentioning every single action that you should take in these specific circumstances. But he's talking about what he's focusing on is on your heart. There may be all kinds of actions that occur. There may be all kinds of hurts or all kinds of situations that you face where you feel hurt. There may be all kinds of situations out there where you are the victim. And what Jesus is saying is, respond with your heart in the right place. So it's not talking about every action. Now, let me also talk a little bit more about this idea that it's not every action. Some people, they say, hit me. All right, yes, someone hit me. I'm going to turn my other cheek to you also. And you get hit again. Some of these people, and it's because of things maybe that have gone on in their lives, they enjoy getting hurt. Some people enjoy getting hurt. This is not what this is talking about. This is not to say that when you turn the other cheek, you're going to be like, yes, I got hit again. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is, even though it hurts, you will continue to do what is right. It's also not talking about always trying to be the weaker person. You know, in this culture, in the Taiwanese culture, it's the opposite from the culture that I grew up in. In American culture, you're supposed to try to show yourself off. You go in for a job interview, you try to show yourself off, and you say, I'm so good, right? But then in Taiwanese culture, you're not supposed to say, I'm so good, look at me. You're supposed to say, don't look at me. I'm not good enough, I'm not good. Right? And there's something that's good about that. There's this idea of humility that's in there, and it's good. But then when the Bible talks about, you know, turn the other cheek, or give them your cloak also, or go the extra mile, what it's not talking about is continually to make yourself into the weaker person so that sometimes you end up not fighting for what's right or good. So it's not talking about every action. What is it talking about? What is God's action here? What God originally desired for this world is a place where there is goodness, where people are willing to give even though people are hurt, where people are giving their all for the sake of loving their neighbor. Now, as the passage goes on, it talks about, the next topic is about loving your enemies, right? Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Right? And so if we're thinking about, okay, so there's this person who's my friend, he's my friend, he's my neighbor, he's someone that I do care about, but he ends up hurting me. Okay, so I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Okay, I'm going to do that. But then Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. All right, what does Jesus say here? What's the outward action? The outward action is we're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to do our best to love our enemies. And it's connected to the whole idea of retaliation in the passages before. We do our best to do what's right. We do our best to do what's good. We do our best to show love to people. But it's not just about the outward action. We need to look at our hearts. If I'm trying to do what's good, it's the same idea. If I'm trying to do what's good, but my heart continues to hate that person, my enemy, eventually, my trying to do good is going to become tiresome. It's the same idea. What's the problem that we face here? All right, we're supposed to be looking at our hearts, and we're supposed to be thinking about like how we're supposed to love our enemies. But what's the hardest part about loving our enemies? Perhaps the hardest part about loving our enemies is that we just don't feel like we can love that person, right? Some of us, we struggle with our feelings. We have two kinds of people, and maybe people in between also. We have people that struggle with having a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings, and they really embrace their emotional side, and they do things according to how they feel. And then you have another group of people where you have a bunch where they say, feelings are just bad. Don't think about your feelings at all. And I'm not going to show you when I cry ever in my life. You know, and we say those people are really strong people that don't show their emotions. And you have people on both sides. But the Bible never says one way or the other is good. Feelings are a part of who we are. Feelings are the things that that God gives to us. But here's the thing. The problem is sometimes that we're led by our feelings rather than being led by the truth. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about the emotions that you're supposed to feel. When we're loving someone, it's not supposed to be about the emotions of me feeling this lovey-dovey feeling for that person, but it's talking about my will, what I decide to do. What I decide is what is true and right. Let me put it with other words. What are your values? What are the things that you really hold on to that you think are true of your life? There are sayings that we might have heard from our past. It might be biblical sayings. It might be other things that our parents taught us. But there are these values that we have in our lives and that we hold on to. Those are our values. And according to those values, we trust those values and we believe in those values and we make decisions according to those values. That's what your heart is. Your heart is the place where you hold on to what is true for you in your mind and you make your decisions according to that. Again, the problem is that a lot of times, for some of us, we're not able to love or take certain actions according to what is true because we hold on so much to our emotions. And if I could just draw this little picture for you guys, there was a time where I had to carry a bucket of water from my sink to my laundry machine because my laundry machine here in Taiwan doesn't have hot water. And I think it's good to use hot water to wash my clothes. So I would fill up this bucket with hot water and I would take it and dump it in the laundry machine. Right? Well, think of the bucket as your heart, your will. And think of all the water inside the bucket as your emotions. Now, if you stir the emotions, if you stir the waters, it's going to be splashing back and forth and you're going to feel all just out of whack. You're going to feel like everything is just going crazy in your life. But your will may still be the same. You can control, in a way, not control, but you can help settle your emotions depending on how you move the bucket. If I move my bucket this way and my will is moved in this way, then the water in the bucket is able to shift this way. If I shift my bucket this way, then the emotions are able to follow this way. If I could just sum it up for you guys, I don't know if that bucket illustration works or not, but the idea is this. There are values that each of us hold on to. And if we're able to see what God's truth is and see that God's truth as our values, and we put our trust in His truth, and we say, even if my emotions are going all over the place, I'm going to turn towards God's ways. My emotions might not be there right away, but my emotions will eventually follow. Jesus says, don't just love your neighbor, but also love your enemies. Why? Because God brings the rain and the sun. God is good to both the righteous and the unrighteous, to the just and to the unjust. God is able to give His provision and His goodness and His light to everyone. All right. So I kind of went off this idea, but all this idea, just to point to the idea that it's about your heart, right? Outward action, love your enemies. It's not going to work all the time unless it starts from your heart, heart action. Now, it's not about every single action out there, because there are times that we do need to fight against evil. There are times that we need to stand up for what's right. There are times that it's not possible to reconcile with an enemy. There are these times. And so Jesus is not talking about only this, like all the different possibilities out there. But Jesus is basically talking about the idea that it's about your heart. The heart of the law is pointing to your heart. So what is God's action here with regard to loving your enemies? God originally had in mind a world where there's peace and harmony, where there wouldn't be any enemies amongst us. And so that's the idea. God wants to create this perfect world. That's what God originally intended. But sin came into this world. And there is sin in our own hearts. What Jesus says is this. He ends this whole section with, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." But we realize that this is difficult for us. This is impossible for us. When Jesus says, this is the new command, this is the new law, this is what I'm reminding you of. The law that was given back then by Moses, the original idea is about your heart. And what we all realize is that it's impossible for us to fulfill that law. And so let me say it one more time. The heart of the law is to show God's original intended plan to provide a place for us so that we're able to live life fully, to have an abundant life. But that only comes if we live according to His ways. That only happens if we're able to live according to God's ways. But we don't. We have sin. And so at the same time, even though the law points to this perfect world, what it does also is that it points out our own sin, that we're not able to live up to God's standards. And so we need to take some time to think through that. Why? Why are we not able to live up to this beautiful world that God intended for us? Like, we want that, don't we? We want a world where things are perfect. We want a world where there are no enemies, where we can feel at peace. We want a world like that. But why is that not possible? Because of the idea that, what if that person hurts me? And I'm trying to live this life, but that person continues to hurt me. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Like, if I let that person borrow money, but that person didn't give the money back, and the person's asking for more money, it's kind of scary, isn't it? Like, what if I end up losing a lot of money because of this person? What am I supposed to do? We're afraid that we might get hurt again, and our minds start to turn to our own hearts again to try to protect ourselves. Instead of leaning upon the Lord, we begin to protect our own hearts. We begin to protect our own lives. We begin to think, how can I make sure that my life is okay? And maybe it's good enough. Maybe it's not the best life, but it's good enough. Rather than thinking about the abundant life that God had planned for us. Because my mind starts to think about my own self, about how I can be in control, how I can make sure that I'm going to be safe, we turn our eyes away from the Father who is in control, the Father who will bring proper judgment one day, who will bring justice one day. We turn our eyes away from the Father who does care for me and will take care of me. Even though I'm going through difficult times, I can trust that there is a Father who is good and who will continue to bring good in my life. Maybe not the ways that I think about it, but He is working. I turn away from that good Father and I turn my eyes to myself. And that's our sin. That's our sin. So what do we do? How do we live this perfect life? We can't. How do we bring about a world that is better? It's difficult for us. So what do? The only answer is to turn to Jesus. To turn to Jesus. Romans 5, verses 7 and 8 says this. Rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Let me explain what that means. When someone hurts me, I might want to get back at that person. And it's very difficult for me to love that person. But that's what Jesus calls me to do. But if we think about our relationship with the Lord, we're the ones that end up continually hurting the Lord because of our sin. God says, look to me, I can help you. I can provide for you. I can give you an abundant life. God says, look to me. I'm your Father. I will take care of you. But we continue to look away and we say, no, I'll handle it. I don't need you. I don't think your ways are good enough for me. I'm going to figure it out myself. And we continue to turn our eyes away from the Lord and we become God's enemies. But out of His great love for us, out of His great love for us, Jesus Christ came and said, even though you are my enemy, I love you incredibly. And I'm willing to give up everything for you. Very rarely will people die for each other. People might die for a good person. People might die for a religious person. But who is there that will give up their lives for their enemy? It's very, extremely rare. And our sin against the Lord is an eternal sin. But while we're still enemies of God, while we're still in sin, Christ died for us. If you are an unbeliever here today, there is hope in this life. You may have been hurt by other people in the past. You may be living a difficult life right now because you're so affected by the things that have happened in the past. But this is the good news. If you turn to the Lord, and I'm speaking to you also that are believers, those of you brothers and sisters, there are things that we hold on to because of the hurt and the pain from the past. If you turn to the Lord and hand that over to the Lord, there is forgiveness of sins. There is restoration. It's possible to be reconciled. And what's amazing is that not only does Jesus Christ forgive us of our sins, but He also gives us the power to live in this new life. An amazing thing that I'm constantly being reminded of these days comes from Romans chapter 8, where it says, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. What is that idea? The Spirit of Christ that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that Spirit of God lives in you if you believe in Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus, He gives you the power through His Holy Spirit to overcome the evil that may continue to exist in our hearts. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us, He changes our hearts, changes our wills to want to look to the Lord. And He's the one that gives us the power to live in His ways. And that's good news. That's good news. You don't have to tell yourself, I'm such a sinner. I just keep falling into this sin over and over, and you start doubting, am I a believer or not? Am I a believer or not? You don't need to do that. Because if you believe in Jesus, He forgives you, and He sees you as perfect, and He continues to work in your life so that you can live a life for the Lord. That's the good news. So I want to leave you guys with just a couple applications. Did someone come to ask you for money recently? Does someone have some kind of issue with you? Have you been hurt by someone? Here's a question for you. How would you trust God like a child? How would you trust Him to provide for you and to bring justice? Think through that. And here's another thing. If you do discover in your own life that you are looking to your own strength to figure things out, and you're not looking to the Lord, and you discover that you have this kind of sin, then bring it to the Lord. Confess it. Tell it to the Lord. And tell Him that you desire to follow Him and find satisfaction in Him. Let's pray together. Let's take a moment right now and think through these questions. I'll ask it again. Does someone come to ask for some money from you? Does someone have an issue with you? Has someone hurt you? How would you trust God like a child to provide for you and to bring justice? Take a moment right now. Maybe God is bringing some particular person to mind. Maybe someone that you've considered to be your enemy, or someone that you've just declared, I can never have a relationship with that person. Maybe there's someone that continues to come and bother you, and you just don't want to help that person anymore. Whoever God is bringing to your mind, take it before the Lord. And perhaps there might be some of you here that have gone through so much pain because of something that happened in the past. Bring that before the Lord. And perhaps your heart is, God, I don't want to struggle with this anymore. It's just too painful. God, I want to give this over to you. Give me your hope. Forgive me of my sins. And allow me to live for you with the peace that you promise, with the joy that you promise. So take a moment to pray. Whatever God is placing in your heart, let's take a moment to pray together.